Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Nebraska is now open for the transaction of business. Draw nigh, all ye having business with this honorable court, and ye shall be heard. God save the State of Nebraska and this honorable court.
Thank you. You may be seated. And good morning to everyone. We will start with introductions from the court. I am Mike Havikin, the Chief Justice, and now by order of seniority as to service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller Lerman.
William Castle. Good morning.
Good morning. Stephanie Stacy.
Good morning. Jeff Funk.
Jonathan Papik. Good morning.
And John Friedenberg. Good morning.
Thank you, members of the court. Our first case this morning is In re Estate of Scaletta. Mr. Weinberg, you're with us this morning. You may approach. And Mr. Lee, you are here. Correct? Does either counsel have any questions before we begin?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Weinberg, you may proceed.
Standard. Thank you for giving me the time to have my client be heard. I appreciate that in this situation. We need a little background, very short. The parties are Philadelphia Jack Scaletta, the decedent, Carl Scaletta Sr., Carl Scaletta Jr., and Josephine Liker. Sr. is a brother, Jr. is the nephew, and Josephine is a sister. They're all non-descendants. That's very important. The key document here is the June 26, 2020 Power of Attorney and the related Revocable Living Trust. The Power of Attorney is the POA, the Revocable Living Trust is the RLT. The residuary shares are 25% to Sr. under the trust, 50% to Jr. under the trust, and 25% to Josephine. The troubling language is that both the POA and the RLT barred non-descendant gifts. And that covered...
Counsel, the Court of Appeals dismissed the appeal for lack of jurisdiction, and we granted further review. Aren't we really focused initially on jurisdiction?
The key here is the declaratory judgment route. But I'll be happy to give you my reasons if you wish directly. Number one, why am I here on this issue of jurisprudence? Number one, there is a case where there was a probate, a declaratory judgment, and an appeal afterwards, after the 30 days, when the declaratory judgment was denied, and the Court of Appeals simply said, you're out of luck, you're past the time. So I'm in a situation where I take a risk time-wise, where if I follow Rose, I take a risk that I may not be allowed to come before you again or before the Court of Appeals. So I went ahead and read one of your cases, Severson, and I said, hey, let's take a look. Is this a special proceeding under 1902? Yes, it's probate. Number two, is there a substantial right? Well, the loss of $2.5 million is rather substantial, especially to Carl Scaletta, who had no education. And then I said to myself, is it a final judgment? Do I can support that? So I looked at 30-1601, and that said, sure, you get a mandatory sehi type supersedious bond or waiver. We got a waiver, but it has to be a final judgment. The judge found it to be a final judgment, period.
Let me, we're talking, are we not, about the February 18, 2022 order. Is that, we're on the same page there, right?
Yes.
Okay, that order seems to have three components with respect to the relief being granted. The first part of it is that the four accounts transferred before death are in the trust. And I'm not raising any jurisdictional question about that one. The next part, however, says that as to two accounts, $186,000 should not have been transferred, and then it says the trustee is ordered to distribute $186,000 plus all interest earned therefrom. Where in this judgment does the judgment determine, if it does at all, how much interest was earned therefrom?
You take a look at the statute. I think it's the 104, not 103, where there's a definitive amount of money earned prior to the date of death, like this $186,000 was. You go by prejudgment interest, which is a mandatory 12%, and that can be computed rather easily.
But does the judgment compute the amount of interest? Does it set forth the amount of interest?
It does not specifically set forth the amount of interest, so, because I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
We agreed to keep it on the court record and made it keep it in the account there and leave it there until there was a final determination on the whole case.
And the provision of the February 18 order for an accounting was to conclude the amount of interest?
It could. But the interest may also continue until there's an ultimate determination, because we weren't sure there was going to be a cross appeal.
So doesn't that make this not quite a final judgment?
The issue we're appealing was the declaratory judgment as to who owns the accounts. That's all we asked for a declaratory judgment on.
But you realize we don't ordinarily allow people to split claims and just appeal a partial determination. Ordinarily, one has to wait for a final judgment.
I absolutely agree with you, and I've read Newman v. Thomas, 264 Nebraska 801, where there was a similar situation involving a POD account. I urge you to read that. And if you want to take a look at another one, Glover v. Lazenby, 276 Neb, I think it was 753, that was an RLT, which they attempted to throw out, where there was a declaratory judgment. The court took jurisdiction. It didn't seem to have a great deal of problem with it. Now, on that POD, it was denied, but in that particular case, there was declaratory judgment rights. If you look at 25-21-152, it's a special proceeding, just for probate alone.
Hypothetically, if the order had said the four accounts are part of the trust, and I'm going to decide the other parts later, would that have been a final judgment?
I don't know. I'd have to take a good hard look at that carefully and analyze it, because I can't give you an off-the-cuff decision in a hypothetical. And I'll be honest with you in that regard. What I'm looking at is what I ask for.
But if I may, you're looking at the piece of this that you don't, with which you disagree, or the pieces of this that you're disagreeing with are a trust administration filed in an estate, right?
The trust request for a trust administration was filed in an estate.
Within the estate case.
But attached to it was a sub-action called a declaratory judgment, which determined only the ownership of the property.
So
I didn't really ask for interest, to be honest with you.
If a declaratory judgment action is permissively joined with other matters ongoing in a probate case, how do we determine finality for purposes of appeal?
Well, if you look at the cases, you'll see that there is a definitive substantive right that was determined. Do you own it or you don't own it?
Does our decision in Mann v. Mann, which was released, I think, this past Friday, have any bearing on our analysis?
I don't think so, but I would love to have the opportunity to go back and double check it. I'll be honest with you.
But I think the general topic here is that not everything, every feature, not every, I don't know the right word, maybe hereditament of this order with respect to accounts put in the trust, perhaps wrongly, right, have been decided. There's still some math and awarding to do.
I didn't ask for that. All I ask for is who owns it. Just tell me. We can figure that up ourselves. We don't need Judge Marcuso to do the math.
And what is the significance in your view of the fact that the order also says, orders the parties for a complete accounting subsequent to the order under discussion?
We didn't even ask for that in the declaratory judgment. So he put that in there himself. All I asked for was, tell me who owns it. That's all I asked for.
Well, is the accounting part of the estate proceeding?
The accounting is up to the estate. That's their business.
Right. Can you object to the accounting?
I haven't.
Well, has it been done?
Yeah, it's been done a number of times, done fairly well. There's nothing to object to.
And final distributions, have those been done?
The final distribution is in the trust, and the estate is a rollover, so the accounting would be in the estate as well as the trust. We haven't asked for an accounting at all. If you take a look at what we ask for, we only ask for who owns what. Tell us who owns what. I agree with you that if I'd asked for that, you'd have an argument, but I didn't at all. I wanted to keep it simple. We have a 34-second judge. You've got to get in there, get your facts out, lay out the law, and move on. And that's exactly what I did. It was all stipulated facts. We didn't need any additional facts. It was just a simple legal looking at the document. What does the document say? One legal issue. A legal issue that's important because of the new law that came under the Uniform Act. Basically, that's it. Unfortunately, you want to keep things simple. In Douglas County Court, they're back 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months sometimes. So you can't play the game asking for everything. And I didn't, because I knew what would happen. You can't see the same staff 2 months in a row. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weinberg. Mr. Lee, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Mr. Weinberg. My name is Dennis Lee, and I'm the attorney for Carl Scaletta Jr., who is the trustee and the personal representative of this case. Obviously, I disagree respectfully with Mr. Weinberg's argument. Judge Funk, I want to address your question because that was the last one. With regard to accounting, there are several pending matters in this estate, and I've argued in my brief, and I'm going to present to you today, that there has been no final order in this case. There's still multiple hearings to go. There's no distribution that has been made yet. There's been a determination made of inheritance taxes, and the inheritance tax has been paid because I did not want to get the case to a point where there was interest accruing 1 year after the date of death of the decedent. In the appeal, and I think in the appellant's brief, he's asked the court for guidance as to what is a final order in a probate. Well, and as I've argued in my brief, there are two elements of the Rose decision. The first one is it a special proceeding? Of course it is. An appeal from a probate qualifies as a special proceeding. But more importantly, and this is where I believe the appellant's argument fails, is that does it affect a substantial right? Now, Mr. Weinberg has argued in his brief in here this morning that it does because there's $2.5 million that Judge Marcuso ordered were within the powers of the trustee. But that's where the argument stops, and that's where the support ends for that argument, because this matter, that order is not a final order. Mr. Weinberg wants this court to say, hey, tell us what a final order is. Give us in the bar some guidance. You did that, and you did that 15 years ago with the Rose decision. And in the Rose decision, it must diminish a claim or defense that is available to a party. And all this did was, it didn't diminish the claim. Interestingly enough, in this probate, after this appeal was filed, after Judge Marcuso's order was entered, and I believe it is in the Bill of Exceptions, there's now a transfer request to district court on a testamentary capacity issue. So this case is far from over. Matter of fact, there's another appeal on your docket that the parties just briefed, I think, 3 weeks ago, and is probably going to come up for argument on that issue. So I don't think it's legally accurate to assert that the order entered by Judge Marcuso on the declaratory judgment singular portion of that case was February 18th. That was not a final order. Judge, you picked up on the fact of the accounting issue. Well, the accounting has been done, but there's no statute of limitations on any of the parties to object to the accounting, question the accounting. And so from that standpoint, our argument is you gave the guidance in Rose, and you repeated the guidance in Severson. And that was just 6 months ago.
Counsel, did Rose involve a declaratory judgment action? Was that an artifact in that case?
No, it did not. Rose involved a personal representative and didn't file the acceptance of the personal representative within the time required. So there is that distinction. But if we look at the Severson case, and again, that's a distinct case, but as you combine those two and you look at the statute as to substantial right and is it a special proceeding, we've already disposed of special proceeding. This whole directed verdict involved essentially one issue involving four bank accounts that had three of those accounts awarded to the trust as a proper transfer prior to death. I don't dispute Judge Marcuso's wisdom of his order. He did the right thing. And so from that standpoint, I still do not believe that we're in a situation where this court wants to open the door to what I consider to be an interlocutory order, not a final order.
Well, your opposing counsel said he packaged this as a one-issue event. He got the answer, and therefore the answer to that question, what's in and what's out, has been resolved and wouldn't be piecemeal in that event.
You're right, Your Honor. However, the only distinction there that I would submit to the court's consideration is that depending upon the results of the challenge to the decedent's testamentary capacity, that order is gone. It's of no effect, because then if the district court jury were to find that the decedent did not have testamentary capacity in June of 20, when the documents
were executed. So I beg your pardon. So the will and the trusts all fail if that were the outcome.
And then
in our record that this is going on?
I believe that application is in an amended Bill of Exceptions. I could be wrong, but I believe it is. I may be getting the appeals confused at the moment, because there's a second appeal that relates to that. So from the appellee standpoint, we believe the court doesn't have jurisdiction.
When, in your view, could appellants obtain review of the order that they're seeking to appeal? When does it become final?
Well, I don't believe, in my argument, as I submitted in my brief, is that this order, the declaratory judgment from February, does not affect a substantial right yet. But when the probate is completed, and even before the distributions are made, if there's a challenge to the distributions, Judge Marcuso orders distribute. Now it's ripe for appeal, because that is the final order. And so I think from that standpoint, as I've argued in my brief, and Mr. Weinberg and I respectfully agree to disagree, but I don't think the law supports it, from Rose to Severson, even though Rose does not involve a declaratory judgment. I do not believe that this court has jurisdiction. The Court of Appeals was right twice. It denied the petition for review. And then it came to this court, and this court wanted to hear arguments. So we're happy to be here. But Mr. Weinberg and I disagree. Mr. Weinberg is asking the court for direction. Tell us what to do out in our 93 counties in Nebraska when we all handle probates. Give us some guidance. You've already done that. And you did it in Rose in 2007, and for 15 years that stood up the test of time, and you did it again in Severson. And for those reasons, my position and the appellee's position is that this court does not have, respectfully, this court does not have jurisdiction, and that this appeal should be dismissed, as did the Court of Appeals. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
conditions?
Mr. Weinberg, I don't think we have any time for rebuttal, but I will let you take 30 seconds to rebut.
It's rose, 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 but if you look at the August 9th, 2022 Court of Appeals decision in the estate of Stephen Clark, 31 Nevat 250, which is published, they said rose only was a restriction only because we needed further information to make a decision. And she went through the phase theory on estates very thoroughly. Judge Reed went through. It's a very interesting case. It says rose is not rose. It's not what you think it is. And
Mr. Weinberg, that's, you've taken your 30 seconds. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the extra time. Are we excused?
You are excused.